May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the one we worship this day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Luke 13. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live only on every word that comes from your mouth. So teach us this day, Lord. May your word be life-giving bread for our souls. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you could sit down with Jesus today, right now, and ask him a question, what question would you want to ask Jesus? Well, some people would ask Jesus, why is there so much suffering in the world? Common question. Why so much evil? How do you allow all this, Lord? Tell me why. Another question might be, what's going to happen in my future? What job am I going to get? Or when am I going to die? When's the last day coming? Tell me, Lord, I can get prepared. Another question might be, just how big is the universe? And when did you create the universe, Lord? How many years ago was it? And is there life on other planets? Some kind of a scientific question, perhaps. Others might be real shallow and say, Lord, if I bought a lottery ticket, would you help me win? And I'll give 10% back to the church. What question would you have? In the gospel today, we have a very important question asked of Jesus, and he answers it. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, this is a great question. It gets right to the heart of things. Heaven and hell, eternal salvation, will those saved be few? And notice the Lord says, strive to enter through the narrow door. So he points us to a door. He points us to a door, a narrow door. All eyes on the door. All your focus now on this door. If you want to go to heaven, you want to be saved, it's all about a door, and you got to get in the door. Let me say three things about the door. All important door today. Three things about this door to paradise. First of all, we learned in a very simple, direct way from Jesus that this is a single door. There's one door to heaven, one door to paradise, a single door. There's not two doors. There's not nine doors, 17 doors, three doors. There's one single door. Make no mistake about it. God wants everybody saved. God loves the whole world, past, present, future. He wants all to be saved. That's why he gave us Jesus. But no mistake about it. Jesus is the only way. He is the door. His cross is the door, and there's no other way. A key word here is the little word the. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Not a narrow door, as if there's three others over here. Pick one of those two. But the narrow door, there's only one door. And Christ is that door. And elsewhere, we know the very simple words of Jesus, John 14. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get any more clear than that, or this text, strive to enter through the narrow door. And this is very difficult for us Americans today and much of the world because we love our choices. And we love options. When you go out to dinner after church here, you love the fact you have options. We can go to Cracker Barrel, we can go to McDonald's, you know, we can go to Calhoun's, Regus. We get all sorts of options. Let's just choose one. Boy, it's great to have all these restaurants in town. Choose one. Options. Be boring if we only had one restaurant. Or the clothes that you wear when you came to church today. You have a closet full probably of clothes, dresser full. It'd be very boring if you had one set of clothing. Oh, what am I going to wear today to church? I got this, I got that, I got that tie, that dress. What should I wear? We have options. The car you drive coming over today. You probably had options. I'll take that car, this vehicle, that car. If I don't like any of those, I'll buy a new car at the lot. There's lots of options out there too. We love our options. We love our choices. But when it comes to heaven, no mistake about it, there's one option. And all others go to hell, whereas Jesus says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Christ is the option. He is the door and there's no other. You know, we've had this debate of whether they should build this mosque at 9/11, the site there, and there's this political debate going on. I'm not here to debate that. But I heard a few politicians say this, and they're politicians, what do you expect them to say? But they said, you know, we got to realize that Islam is a noble religion. It's a good, noble religion. And I'm here to say it's not a good, noble religion. It's a devilish religion that leads to hell. And so does Hinduism and Buddhism and every other ism that's outside of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and does not teach him as the Christ, the one who died and rose. Everything else leads to damnation. He is the door. Everything else mocks him and mocks his cross. Now, this does not mean that we hate our Islamic neighbor or our Hindu neighbor. We love them. We're the best neighbor they could ever have. We befriend them. We help them. We guide them. We love them. And in that love for them, we show them the door, which is Jesus. And teach them the door they're going is the wrong door. And we pray for them. But by all means, the church says boldly, there's one door. There's not five or six. There's one, and Christ is that door. And the great evidence that Christ is the only way is his blood. You think there's another way? Consider the one who hung 6 hours on a cross for you with nails in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns on his head and a whip on his back. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he suffer, bleed, and die and suffer hell and all the agony if there's three other doors on the side over here? Why do it? God would spare his son and say, pick another door. I'm not going to give my son. I don't have to. There's these other doors. Go through one of them. The blood of Christ cries out. It's the only way. You know, I read a true story of a farmer in Iowa who loved his dear wife. And he wrote the phrase, I love you, in one of his cornfields. He had a big cornfield. And he imprinted in the cornfield the phrase, I love you, in big, bold letters there in the cornfield, to say he loved her. And guess what he made the I love you out of, what he used to imprint on his cornfield? He used manure. Nothing like saying, I love you, honey, with 125,000 pounds of manure he used. Nothing like saying, I love you. That's an Iowa farmer. They do that in South Dakota too? I don't know. The Lord does not say, I love you, with manure or anything else. The Lord says, I love you with blood. I forgive you with blood. I've saved you with blood. And that blood cries out, it's the only door, the only way, the only I love you from God is the blood of Jesus. Secondly, we learn this door is a small door. One door, it's a small door. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. He calls it a narrow, slim, skinny, small door. It's difficult to enter. The Greek word agonizomai is how we translate strive into, or strive. It's the Greek word agonizomai. We get our word agony from this. It implies go through every agony to enter the door. Go through every hardship. Go through every persecution, every suffering. Go through every pain and agony to enter through this narrow door that leads to heaven. It's a small, small, little door. It's difficult to enter and get through. What's he trying to imply by saying, enter through a narrow door? Isn't it easy, Jesus? Isn't it just believe and I'm in? It's a big open door. There's three things he's teaching by calling himself a little door, a small door. Number one, he is teaching us that to enter, we must be small. We need to perhaps get on our knees and crawl through this door and bend over to get into it, which implies what? It implies repentance. Only those who repent, only those who bend over, who crawl, who make themselves small, who are poor in spirit and humble, only those enter. He says, many will try to enter but won't. Why can't they enter? Because they have a big head. If you have a narrow door, a big head doesn't get through. And a big head means pride, arrogance, conceitedness. Oh, that's the big head, self-righteousness. That's the Pharisees. They will strive to enter. They want to go to heaven. They want to be able to go, but they can't because they got a big head. Their pride gets the best of them. They're conceited. And also, he's implying here that greed will keep you out of the kingdom. A narrow door means you can't bring anything else with you. You have to leave all your idols. Money, your idol? Possessions, your idol? You love stuff. Is that really what you worship? You come here an hour, but really you love your money. You love your stuff, your house. You go to hell if you love money more than you love God. You put your trust in money. Deny yourself, he's saying. Take up your cross. Follow me. It's a skinny little door. No money, no idols, no stuff, no big head. Repentance and humility. That's the life of faith, isn't it? Also implied here, the small door, is the idea that each person must enter individually. It's a narrow door, room for one at a time. Meaning you can't get in on the coattails of mom. You listening to me, kids, and others of us? Your mom can't save you. Your dad can't save you. The pastors can't save you. All right, you can't get in on our coattails. Some mass group going through a huge door, and I'll just get in without believing. Everybody must stand before God one by one and meet his God. Do you believe in Christ? Are you baptized or are you not? One by one. It's very personal. And last of all, we learn this idea of a small door. Look then for salvation in small things. The door is not some big, massive, ornate door with shining lights. Come on in. It's not that. It's small and simple. And only those that seek God and have faith see it. He's talking about the smallness of baptism. Here the door is open for you. It's small, though. Little water, little word. Many people mock this. That can't save me, but it does. Here God's Spirit gives faith and washes away sins, and the door opens. Talking about communion, it's small. Little bread, little wine, it's so dinky and small. And yet there is Christ. There's heaven. There's forgiveness. And you enter again and again and again. And he tucks you in your mind forever and ever. I'm never going to let you go of you. That's what happens here. The word of absolution. The word of preaching. It's small. Compared to all the other information out there, this is small. Who cares about what's happening in First Lutheran Church compared to the world information? All very dinky, small stuff. But here, heaven opens as we preach and teach Jesus. And as we say, I forgive you your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Look for salvation, not in the big, elaborate, impressive things, but in the small things of the church. Word, sacraments. That's where it's at. I heard this week, in my ongoing effort to be healthy, Pat, now I need to eat black beans. Who's my black bean eaters? A few months ago, it was blueberries, and I've been eating blueberries, and they're good for you. Now I read where you can, if you eat enough black beans in a day, you can reduce your risk of heart attack by 40%. So load on the black beans. There you go. Don't talk to me afterwards. It may be a problem, but load them on now, all right? Black beans. God, even in creation, often does incredible things with very small things. Blueberries, black beans, small things. God packs a lot in small things often. And above all, he does that in church with a little water and a little bread and wine and a little word. God packs all the blessings of salvation in those things and opens the door and says, come on in, and pulls us in by the Holy Spirit. It's a single door, make no mistake about it. It's a small door. Every agony, every pain, every persecution to come here to church and hear the word of God and to follow Christ. You go through everything. You never deny Christ. And then last of all, to make it obvious, this is a saving door. It's a door that leads to heaven. It's a door that leads to the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's a door to the feast. No doubt about it. And the Lord explains that there at the end when he gives the great promise. As Pastor mentioned today in the children's message, people will come from the east and west, north, south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Wow, all the saints, all those that believe across the whole world, past, present, they'll all be there. You and I will be there who believe and are baptized. This door does lead to heaven. It's small, it's unimpressive, it's narrow, it's a single door. But don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived by it because it leads to heaven. And have faith. You'll be at the table. It's very important here in this gospel lesson that being close is not good enough. Being close to the door, but not inside, is not good enough. The Lord mentions this when he says, I tell you, we'll seek to enter and not abide. Many will seek to enter and not abide. When the master of the house has arisen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open for us. He will answer, I don't know you, where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I don't know you. Depart from me, all workers of evil. Notice how close people are in Jesus' day. He's talking about the crowds that have curiosity about him. All the crowds that are amazed. They see him do miracles. They might listen to a sermon now and then. They might even eat with him now and then, but they don't believe. They don't repent. They're not baptized by John the Baptist or later by the disciples. They won't do that. They'll stay out. They're close, but they're not in. They're right by the door, but they won't step in. The picture the Lord probably wants us to have here is the picture of Noah's Ark, of why he refers to salvation as a door. He wants us to think back to the Ark. Remember Noah's day, he's saying, there is one ark, one way of salvation from the flood. There weren't three boats, one boat, and there was a door to enter. And the animals entered, and Noah and his family entered. But then the Lord shut them in. And when the Lord shut them in, there weren't any windows open. You weren't going to get in. No matter how hard you knock, it's over. You had your chance, but you didn't get in. And you're drowned. I'm sure a lot of people in Noah's day were there, talking to Noah, ate with Noah. Maybe they took a tour of the ark. Let me look in that ark, that thing you're building. Maybe they touched the wood. They were right there, but they wouldn't get in when it counted. And the Lord is saying there's going to be lots of people in the world who are curious about Christianity, interested, hear about it now and then, maybe come to church now and then. But they are never baptized. They don't really believe. They don't participate in the life of the church. They never get in. And they're left outside knocking. I read where Americans are sleep deprived. You don't know all this good healthy stuff I read all week, Pat. We're sleep deprived now. 47% of Americans get less than 7 hours of sleep a night. About half of us get less than 7 hours a night. We're sleep deprived. And that's a problem. But I think Americans sleep very well spiritually. I think a lot of Christians sleep very well spiritually. We're apathetic. We're lazy. I'll get in the door later. I'll get in the life of church later. We have one foot in, one foot out. I'm not sure whether I want to be in or not. Are you a fool or what? This is heaven and hell. Get in while you can. The door's not shut. Wake up, people. Wake up, America. Wake up, world. The door is open to heaven through Jesus. He died and rose. God loves us and forgives us. Get in while you can. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You ought to stay in the church. Always stay in the ministry of the church. Stay in the door. Don't jump back out. Ah, I get out there. Stay in the ministry of the church. And then bring your neighbor. There's a great mission call here. You know, do you have a family member, a neighbor who's not in the door? They're going to hell. They'll be left out knocking. It's time next Sunday to call them on the phone at 7:30. Wake up! I don't care if you have less than 7 hours. There's 7 hours of sleep. Wake up! This is heaven and hell. You're coming to church to learn of Jesus. And go knock on their door. Wake up, fella. I love you. You need to know about Jesus. It's urgent. Get in the door now. Is there urgency? Or are we all just half asleep? Are only a few going to be saved, Lord? Personalize it. Am I going to be saved, Lord? Strive to enter through the narrow door. It's a single door, Jesus. It's a small door. He works through word and sacraments, the ministry of small churches. It's a saving door that leads to life. Strive to enter through the narrow door and bring your friend. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the church.